I am Kapusi, the chief rabbi of Egypt.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiya bedvarayim.
Amen.
Amen.
We are up to Pasuk, page 542. We began yesterday. No. Next Pasuk, we start Pasuk, page 544, Zayin, Ches, and Tes. We did together yesterday three Pesukim. We learned the Mitzudos, the Rashi, and Radak. Today we're going to do the Malbim. So let's start right away with the Malbim. Pasuk Zayin on page 545. Toiv, Hashem is good. Hashem is good to those that seek refuge in Hashem, those that look to Hashem as a source of strength. Toiv, Achar, Hatziur, Hanoido, Hazesh, Tzir, Hamokim, Haklali, Shukadu, Haaretz, Ola, Ba, Tohu, Vayovar, after the description, this awesome description that we have expressed in the last few psukim, describing this world, a general description, the world, the place, the general place. What is the general place? The world, the sphere of the world, the kadur haaretz, the ball of the earth. Allah batayu, I'm on page 545 in the Malbum. Gei chizoyoin lahamalbum, pasuk zayin. Allah batohu vayivat. Hashem destroyed the world. The world no longer exists. Ve'ein makayim u'ma'amad l'chol hayikum asher al pnei ha'adama. If the earth, the mountains have quaked, and the hills have melted, and the earth has been burned to a crisp, there's nothing left, and all the waters have dried up. There's nothing left. So what's going to be? Now this pasuk is coming to address what's going to be when this happens. So Yishal, Yishal, the question is going to be asked, Alma Yamdu Ata Bine Tevel. The apocalypse. Sounds like some type of science fiction horror movie where the world comes to an end. All the nuclear missiles have been launched and detonated. So what's left? Let's say there'll be a survivor. What's going to happen? Hallo, ha'aretz hispoira, v'hismaitita, the earth has turned into crumbs and has dissolved. Meshiv, Pasuk, Zayin, Ches, and Tes are coming now to address that reality, that new reality, what comes after the Chorban. B'yoyim Tzara, on this day of Tzara, so he's reading the words backwards, as we do many times, Pasuk, Zayin, We're starting off with the word. We have to scramble. This is like you're working for the government in encryption to decrypt the code. Every pasuk is a code. You have to know which words. The first thing you have to which word, the order of the words of the pasuk, in order to translate to bring out the idea. And the first words of the pasuk are biyoyim tzara, not toiv Hashem, but biyoyim tzara. On the day of Tzara, this day when the world comes to an end, Toiv Hashem Limois. Toiv La'amoid Al Hashem. It is good to rely, to put your faith Al Hashem. Kihu Ata Mikoimoy Shel Ho'ilam. He is the place of the world. What that means, let's see one more line. The Olav Yamdu Habiruim. And they will stand on Hashem, v'yimtzu ma'oz u'machseh. Okay, it doesn't really explain very much. It's a new reality. The world, if we take the psukim literally, the world no longer exists, and any living creature has no choice but to support himself upon the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. He will now take the place of this vacuum, this empty world. The idea chayseboy. What does it mean? Vidya chayseboy. Return to Loimar. Vehamoiz hazeh sheyoizu boyato shu Hashem. This new strength, this new fortress, which mankind will now rely upon, which is Hashem. Naale min hamoiz will ascend. Min hamoiz sheyimtsa adam bedavar tivi will be above nature. Malbum here. Normally the Malbum is very derech pshat. sometimes you'll see in Rashi and the Midrashim more of a medrash. And the Malbim likes to put things more in the perspective of, you know, more down to earth for us and our generation. But here the Malbim seems to be doing something the opposite. Everyone over here, all in the forest, when they say the world is going to quake, don't get so nervous. So there's an earthquake, so there's a little fire somewhere, a forest fire somewhere. Eventually the forest fire goes out, they rebuild, there's a flood, the waters subside, there's a drought, it rains, the world returns to the way it was. No, the Malbim is not saying, don't learn that. Don't downplay the previous psukim where it describes these natural disasters, whatever these disasters are. No, the world is really coming to an end. The world, when it says here that the mountains are shaking, that means that's it. They're going to collapse. When it says the hills are going to melt, that's right. It means it's going to melt. When it says the waters are going to, the sea, the yam is going to dry up, that's pretty scary. Could you imagine going to the Atlantic and there's no water? Take a car, you can go to Eretz Yisrael by train. Okay? You don't have to go by plane. You can go by foot, go on a hike. 3,000 or 6,000 miles. Okay, so we go down to the Grand Canyon, you'll have cable cars, it'll be a whole new industry. A whole new industry. $1 billion industry of traveling in the Atlantic when there's no water. So he says that's really what's going to happen. The world's going to cease to exist. And then, but there's life. What about life? Hashem created life. Life will have no choice but to sustain itself in the spiritual realm, which is the Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, this is not your typical Malbim. Okay, this is something which is very, like, you think you're talking about a Zohar. You're talking about something like way of Tzaddik. This is like way out stuff here. Na'ala min ha'ma'oy sh'yim so'adam b'davar tivi. The ma'oz does not know, the ma'oz, the stronghold, does not know who is seeking refuge in it. Aval Hashem hu ma'oz asher yodea choisevoy. This ma'oz knows who is seeking refuge. U'mashkiach lo behashkocha pravdes. Okay, he's coming to answer a grammatical question. It says here in the pasuk, literally, we just glossed over it. Toiv Hashem. Hashem is good, limo'oz, to those that seek in Hashem refuge, v'yom tzara, v'yodea. Now he learns the word yodea is going back on the word mo'oz. This is not the way we translated the pasuk yesterday. Yesterday we broke up the pasuk into two or even more parts. Hashem is good to those that look up to Hashem as a stronghold, as a fortress, period. Then it says, Biyom Tzara. Okay, that's a general description of what's taking place. We're now at a time of Tzara. Those that will look up to Hashem as a fortress, Hashem will be good to. And then there's another statement, an independent statement. The idea. Remember, we delved into this yesterday at length. I told you the three perushim, the Mitzudois, Rashi, and the Radak. And I asked you, if you could only have one of them, which one would you select? And I gave you my worthless opinion, I would select number the Radak. What does it mean, v'yodea? The Mitzudois stuff, it says, Hashem is a lev lodas. Hashem v'noisein lev lodas. Hashem applies himself to provide salvation for someone that choisevo seeks refuge in Hashem. Rashi did not say that. Rashi translated the word v'yodea, the tzorche, the needs. Hashem knows what these people need. Doesn't say salvation. It's a different nuance. And then the Radak was very elaborate. The idea, he says, Hashem knows who you are. He recognizes you for good and takes care of all of your needs. Radak was very elaborate. Along comes the Malbim, none of the above. Nothing. First of all, the subject of the Yodea is not Hashem. I mean, not Hashem directly, indirectly. The subject of the word Yodea is the Ma'oz. Okay, we until now, there's the Ma'oz. Hashem is good to those that look to Hashem as you're my fortress. Period. New statement. Hashem is Yodea. Hashem knows those people that seek refuge in Him. What that means, we explain. No, Malbim says the word Yodea is referring to the Ma'oz. The fortress has intelligence. The fortress is a living creature. And this fortress knows who is a member. If you're a member of a gym, the swimming pool doesn't know you from Adam. Okay? The swimming pool is just an object. It's a domain. It has no intelligence. You're a member of this society. You pay membership money to some organization and you can use the pool. Does the pool know that you exist? Of course not. It's a joke. The pool is just a water and cement, whatever it is. Here we have the Ma'oz. The Ma'oz is an intelligent being who knows who are its members. Who then is the Ma'oz? Hashem. Hashem is the Ma'oz. And thus Hashem is different than the spiritual world is different than the physical world. In the physical world, bricks and stones don't have any intelligence. They don't relate to you. You're taking advantage of them. Here, but in the spiritual world, the Ribbono Shel Olam is even a greater fortress, a greater source of support. And not only does he provide shelter and protection and strength, but he also has a relationship with you. He knows who you are. He customizes himself to your needs. When you come to the pool, Hashem knows what temperature you like it, and the temperature changes. When you come near. I'm just giving you examples. So this is a whole new take on the word, how we learn Shad in the Pasuk. This Ma'oz, which is being described now as our source of strength, which is a metaphor for Hashem. I'm saying the second to last line in Pasuk Zion. This is not, it's a way above and beyond the normal type of Ma'oz in the world of nature. Is the world of nature, and this churban, yashgiach bein chemla, Hashem will pay attention with an eye of compassion, lahatzil to save esaboitchim boy, those who have faith in Hashem, ulahatzilam to save them mini tsar from the enemy. Okay, so he's like a little vacillating. Is the world coming to an end or not? Maybe yeah, maybe not. Whatever it is, maybe I went a little too far in that idea of Teva. But whatever it is over here, there's definitely something very, very special about on this day when the world is coming to an end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be there for us, to protect us, to survive against all odds. And the real uniqueness of the Malbim's parish verse, everything that we've learned until now is that he takes the word V'yodea and he directly injects the word into the word Ma'oz. Unlike the other commentators who pretty much break up the Pasuk into two different statements. And it's poetry. We have Hashem is good to those that seek refuge in Hashem. Very good. Number two, V'yodea. The subject of V'yodea is Hashem. Not so, according to the Malbim. The Malbim says that Hashem is the Ma'oz, and the Ma'oz knows who takes refuge. We're trying to, over here, to open up our minds to understand that the spiritual world has absolutely no relationship, operates on a different plane, a different level than anything that we know about this Olam HaTeva. Okay, Pasuk Ches, V'shetef Oiver, a flood. A flood that passes over im atziyur shetziyur Hashem kimoos minatzara. If the tziyur that we describe shetziyur Hashem kimoos minatzara, the description that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our fortress to protect us from the danger, Mitzayer oisai gamken ke oiver b'shetef l'chalois esatzara. Now this is also deviating from everything we learned until now, that this shetef here is good, is positive. To take away the tzara, ritzoin eloimar, be'eish Hashem oiver b'shetef v'zedemayim, ad shekolo yaseh mekoimoy. When Hashem passes with a shetef, a flood, which he translates here as a zerem of mayim, ad shekolo yaseh mekoimo, until the tzara ceases to exist, sha'al yidei ha-shetef yichale es ha-mokam shemisham bo ha-tzara l'chol olam shi eretz ashur. The oivav and his enemies. Now, before we go further. Let's clarify. It appears that the Malbim is coming to strongly disagree with Rashi and the Radaka and the Mitzudois, and the Shetef Oiver is something good. Whereas they appear to learn the Shetef Oiver Kola Yase Mikoimoy is a description of evil of destruction. There's going to be, at this point in time, a flood that's going to pass over the world or over a nation, or here referring pretty much to Ashur, and it's going to bring them upon them destruction. Kol yaseh mekoimoy, the place of Ashur will be completely obliterated. And this shetef is going to be part of what's going to destroy the oivav yiradech choshech, which we have to come back to in one moment. Rashi Mitzudos, he slightly alters the understanding. The shetef oiver here is being viewed as a blessing. The Ribbono shel Olam is now coming to appear in the form of salvation for the people who seek refuge in Hashem. Whereas a shetef oiver is a flood, and the flood brings destruction. So is the flood, until now we were learning, there are the kingdom of Ashur, they are the flood. And they, no, it's not so, that's okay, I made a mistake there.
Is it just Ashur or Bechol Ha'olam?
Well, the simple understanding of these psukim is reference to Ashur, specifically the capital of Nineveh. In the previous psukim, we described the mountains quaked, the hills melted, the earth was burning. There's going to be the Zam of Hashem. We learned yesterday that Pasuk Ches is the continuation. It's Hashem is going to send down to this world a flood, and it's going to obliterate Ashur. All of these descriptions are describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's destruction, obliteration of what the psukim are describing, which simply refers all to the nation of Ashur. Now, the problem with that interpretation that we learned yesterday is, what then is Pasuk Zion doing smack in the middle? If we were writing these psukim, it's more likely we would write Pasuk Hey about the mountains quaking and the hills melting and the earth burning. And then we would write Pasuk Vav describing the Zam of Hashem and the fire coming out and all the rocks being destroyed. And also Pasuk Dalet before that describes, you know, the four elements. We described all this in the Malbim. Malbim went through the four elements. And then we would right away describe in Pasuk Ches, the Shetef, in addition to what's happening into to the earth, fire and earth and wind, there's also going to be a flood, a Shetef, either that will bring obliteration to this nation of Ashur. And then at the end, what do you think? You think you're going to survive? Hashem's going to wipe you off the face of the earth. And then when we finally finish the description of the incredible Churban Hashem's going to bring upon the nation of Ashur, we're then going to say, by the way, Toiv Hashem l'mo'oz b'yom tzara v'yodea choseva. After we described in great detail Hashem's destruction, obliteration of our enemy, then we're going to come back and say, by the way, Hashem's going to be good to those people that seek refuge in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Isn't that what we would do? If we were given these psukim, and we were told to take these psukim and put these psukim in order, I believe every single person in this room, after studying all the psukim, would take pasuk, dalit, hey, vav, ches, tes, together. Put them all together. And then when you finish putting all these together, which all describe the same concept of obliteration of a wicked nation, you would then say, by the way, if there are any pockets of tzaddikim amongst these people, whether they are from the Hasidi Umos HaOlam, or as we learned yesterday in the Radak, Klal Yisrael was living in Ashur. There were Jews living in Ashur because they were the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled to Ashur. By the way, those tzaddikim living in Ashur, Toiv Hashem, Hashem's going to be good to them. Then we put at the very, very end, Pasuk Zayin. So Pasuk Zayin does not belong here. Pasuk Zayin belongs after Pasuk Tes. Why then is Pasuk Zayin here in the middle? It appears that this question is what's bothering the Malbim, and that forces the Malbim to suggest that Pasuk Ches, when it describes a shetef oiver, a flood, it's not referring to destruction. It's referring to salvation. That when Hashem sees the tzaddikim that are about to be wiped out, Hashem's going to come to rescue them with a flood of rachmanis. With like just like there's a flood of water which comes and wipes out a civilization, Hashem is going to send, he's in the process of bringing the apocalypse to Ashur, and Hashem sees deer like in a science fiction movie, a tzaddik right there in the middle. Hashem's going to come down with a shetef, a flood of rachamim, like a flood of water, to save the tzaddik and remove any zecher of there ever have been of him ever finding himself in a matzav of sakana. It's like it's just like a bad dream. It never happened. It's an incredible difference of approach. According to the Malbim, Pasuk Ches is not a continuation of Pasuk Dalet Hey Vav. That Dalet Hey Vav was describing Hashem's destruction of the enemy. Now, we got a problem. We have an SOS call. Inside of this city that's about to be obliterated off the face of the earth, there's one tzaddik, and he gets on his special emergency telephone, satellite phone, and he makes a call, save me, extract me from this destruction. So they send out a SWAT team to come, an emergency team, a rescue team, to save the person. The koyach of the rescue team to save this person right the second before the whole city goes up in smoke is what we're describing here in Pasuk Ches. The rachamim that's coming to extract the tzaddik from his tzara, his personal tzara, where he finds himself in this matzav of chaos, that is called the shetef oiver, and it will make kol yase mekoyma, meaning the tzara. This tzaddik, he sees the world crumbling from beneath him. It's not crumbling. For you, it's not crumbling. The whole tzara, from your perspective, never happened. It was the bad dream. I removed you from this situation, put you somewhere else. It's like it never, never happened. It's an entirely different perspective, a different approach to look at Pasuk Ches. The Malbim is going up against everyone else, based upon, obviously, a very simple question: what is Pasuk Zayin doing in the middle? Pasuk Zayin is now changing the conversation. There are those that have rachmanis in Hashem, so for those people, not only is Hashem going to be good to, Hashem is going to go to extreme measures to extract them. Yeah?
Couldn't be just like the Derech Hashem, because with the Makas Mechorim, didn't you have the same thing occurring where the whole, everything around them, you had the Choshech, you had the, everything going on at the same time, but the it was an enclave, those
were exactly. 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 Okay, so this appears what he said. Now we go to the last part of the pasuk. The oivav yiradeh choshech. Now, yesterday we learned. Everyone was the same opinion, except for the way I originally translated. What I originally translated to you is really the Ibn Ezra. We're going to come to it in a moment, but let's just review what we learned yesterday. We have here the last three words of Pasuk Ches, V'oivav, regarding Hashem's enemies, Yiradef Choshech. Yiradef is an unusual grammatical form of the word Redifa, and everyone until now translated it to mean the darkness will be given feet and be given a mind, and darkness will chase after the enemy. So the enemy is sitting here, wherever the enemy is. Wherever the enemy goes, darkness will pursue him. Darkness has life. Choshech, better.
A rolling fog.
See, this makes a whole new understanding compared to Makas Choshech. Mach v'yomesh Choshech. Okay, they were frozen in darkness. Here, they're not. Here, it's even worse, because if you're frozen in darkness, if somehow you're able to get yourself out of there, the darkness is here, not there. Here, the darkness is chasing after you.
Well, that's what the Malbim does say about Choshech.
Over there, they chased after you.
Yeah, Afela is the fog. That's what he said.
The fog is chasing after you.
Darkness, and Afela is the fog that makes it even much worse.
But it's chasing. It's as if it has legs chasing after you. So Yiradeh, the word Yiradeh, is a modifier for the word Choshech. The enemy is sitting, a sitting duck. He's sitting there, wherever he is. Maybe he's moving. The Choshech is pursuing the enemy. Now, let's see what the Malbim says. The Oivav Yiradeh Choshech, V'utziyur, this now is a description, Al Zerem Mechidekel, the waters of the Euphrates. Sheshota, no, Chidekel is not the Euphrates, sorry, that's the Pras. Chidekel, what's Chidekel? What is it called in English? Whatever it is.
Tigris.
Sheshataf oz es ninvei bifkudas Hashem. So this is very important, right? The Tigris. So therefore, Yechidekel, this pras, the Euphrates destroyed Bavel. That was the river that flooded Bavel. There's some mention of that, maybe not, but pras is Bavel. Here, we're talking, the Chidekel is the river that's going to destroy Ninvei. Sheshataf oz es ninvei bifkudas Hashem, by the command of Hashem. V'choleir baruchu ki'ilu darkam choshech v'chalak lakois, darkness and slipperiness. The word chalak lakois means to slip.
Right.
So there's darkness and you slip. And you can't see where you're going, you're going to stumble. You're going to hit a rock and you're going to fall down and hurt yourself. When you slip, we all know today, no one wants to fall down. U'malach Hashem roidfam Hashem, the malach is going to pursue them. So he here is telling us an incredible chiddush which no one said. He's consistent. So far, we already have now four of the mefarshim that are saying pretty much the same thing. The word yiradef is modifying choshech. Darkness will chase after oivav, the enemy. The Malbim is unique in telling us the darkness here refers to an historical fact. There was a massive flood. There was a tsunami, a flood, where the Chidekel overflowed, flooded Ninveh. Everyone had no choice but to pick themselves up and leave the city. Everything was destroyed. They had to run away. And when they ran away, they were lost. They didn't know where they were going. They were slipping wherever they went. No one wanted to take them in, this, that, as you can imagine, the tzara. And that's what it means, that the Chidekel, which here we're calling as a metaphor for the darkness, will pursue the enemy, will force them out of their home, out of Ninveh, force them to run away to another country. And in the other countries, they're not going to be accepted, and they're going to slip and stumble and fall and have a lot of tzaras. Okay, so that's pretty much what we said until then. We're going to see the Ibn Ezra, let's finish up over here, what it says over here, Pasuk Tes. The last part we learned, Ma tachshun el Hashem, lomo tzichashvun al zeh machshava ru al Hashem. Why do you go and attribute what's happening to you as evil? They viewed Hashem to be evil by Hashem punishing them. And to destroy. That's not. Like I'm now on page 547. Okay, in the Geichi Zinlam album, the Behor Inyan, on the right side. So first thing, before you can go further, when Hashem says Masach Shavun, this is a response to philosophy 101. Take a course in philosophy in any college. The first course, they'll tell you all the different Apicorsis, theories of Apicorsis that exist in this world. So Hashem is saying, what are you taking this course? Lama Sach Shavun. All of these ideas that you attribute to Hashem are nonsense. A lot of the philosophy of religion, there's people get PhDs in this type of stuff. There's enormous amount of stuff out there, all the study of religion, of all the nations, philosophy, ideologies, all these ideas, and they try to understand Hashem's ways, and they attribute to Hashem nonsense. They attribute in all the religions to some degree, they view that God, or whatever they believe in, has evil. That there's some deviousness in a God. And that God, he likes just to torture creatures for the sake of torture. Not as a punishment or as a means of improvement, rehabilitation of Musar. Suffering for fun. In English, it's called to be an S. Can I pronounce that word? A sadist, right? An S. Sadist. Right?
A sadist.
What is a sadist? Someone who causes someone pain just for fun.
They believe in Hashem. They believe in Hashem.
This is called the evil genius.
That's Greek mythology.
Right.
Do they believe in Hashem and that this is how he functions?
That's what it seems. The Malbim, they're obviously Ayin Parim LaTorah, but it seems that the Malbim is saying here, the principle of evil genius. I don't know much about this. All I know is I took a course in philosophy once in Brooklyn College. It was a core course. I had no choice to take it. And it's full of all of courses. And one of the things that I learned there is this thing called the evil genius, that there are people out there in the world, or at least ancient people, believe that God is evil. God, he is a sadist. He put us in this world to torture us, that we should feel pain. And in order to fake us out, he gives us enjoyment once in a while. But Be'etzem Hashem, he enjoys torturing us. Now, this is, the Malbim must have taken the same course, because he says exactly that in the words here, Ma Tichashvun. The people of Nineveh are suffering. The Chidekel has flooded, people are dying, there's obliteration. Over here we have all of these things that are going on, there are earthquakes, tsunamis, natural disasters, things are going. So what do they say to themselves? Why is this happening to us? This is obviously, there's a God. A God over here is coming down on us hard. What did we do to deserve this? Nothing. It must then be that God enjoys bringing suffering just for the sake of suffering. To this, Nachum makes a pro, gets up and makes a macha. Matach shavon el Hashem. What kind of garbage is this? What kind of garbage are you saying? You're attributing to Hashem that he enjoys bringing upon you suffering just because he enjoys it and it's not just? I'm not making this up. Look at the words one more time, page 545. Lama tichashvun al Hashem machashava ro'o al Hashem ki ilu yotzo lihora. Hashem has come out of his abode to bring evil, ulivalea, to swallow you up, and to destroy you just for fun, for no reason whatsoever. How dare you? See, Nachum da ma lohoshev la'apikoiris. He gets his hands dirty, Nachum. He knows all the garbage, all the nonsense out there, and he comes to reject it. Don't say this. She'ein zeh. That's wrong. It's nonsense what you're saying. That's not the true God. God created this world to do chesed. Oilam chesed yibane. This world was built upon a principle of kindness, of love. And when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing suffering upon a human being, it's out of love. It's in order to achieve a greater result. And we unfortunately don't have the wisdom to understand at this time what it's all about, if we'll ever understand it. But mimidasai ki be'emes ein kavanasa lihara. Hashem has no intent to cause any living creature in this world harm. Rak kolahu oiset sara le'sakum pamayim. Now, how does he translate these very mystical words which we've been struggling with yesterday? B'ze yichale es hatzara shehu malchus ashur shehi hoiset sara satevel. This that you're suffering is because you deserve it. You are a tzara. The reason why you are suffering is because you're not a tzaddik. You are a curse. You are a tzara. You have caused tzar, pain, to the world. And you're a danger to other people. And it's only just and correct that you now suffer midah keneged midah and be punished. They were the tzaras hatevel. The ali de hashetef azehu mechales hatzara baal tokum pamayim shagam shacham apolo zo kama pamaechak. That's going on to another point. But let's finish up this concept. The concept is loma sachshuvon al Hashem. Don't go and say that the ribbono shel olam is evil. Chas v'shalom. But kakala hu osa. He's not evil. Hashem is bringing an end to you who are evil. You who have exercised your free will to bring harm upon man for selfish reasons, it's now the day of reckoning for you. And furthermore, if we don't put you in your place, you'll destroy the world. You're a danger. Kalu Oise, and then it concludes with these words, Leisakum Pamayim Tzara, Hashem does not want a second time. So yesterday we discussed this principle that there's no nation in the world upon which it says this gadia that Hashem will obliterate you to the very end. Mitzrayim was destroyed, but they rose up again. Amalek never was destroyed. Unfortunately, they're dancing out there amongst us. And other nations, when we find in Tanakh, they were humiliated, they were punished, there were battles they lost. They always live to fight another day. The only nation in the entire world where it says such an expression that they're going to be obliterated off the face of the earth to a point where they'll never be able to rise up again, they'll be squeaky clean from this world, is Ashur, not even Amalek. Amalek is in the future. But Ashur, it says you're going to be destroyed.
Is alive and well.
What?
Amalek is alive and
right.
Well.
Even Amalek, even it is still, but Ashur, even Bavel, Bavel also remained to some degree. But when it comes to Ashur, the only nation that had said this nusach le'sakum pa'mayim tzara, you who are the tzara to the world will not rise up a second time. You're not going to rise up. We're going to have to destroy. I'm going to finish you off in one shot, as if you never existed. You'll never rise up again. That is how we learned yesterday, according to all the commentators. The Malbim over here is coming to ask a very basic question. That historically, it's not true. Okay, you can all the Mefarshim can say what they want to say, and say that Ashur was obliterated. But if you take out the history books, after Hashem destroyed Nineveh, Nineveh rose up again. After this story over here that he predicts, he says Shagam Shacham Apollo Zo Kama Pamechad Haloi Oy Tasha V'Sicharev Shenis. They will be destroyed a second time. Ali Nevuchadnezzar Uvapam Hasheni. Loi sokum od, kirak pam achas takum tzara, loi pamayim. So he's saying, he's playing with the words, and he's saying is,
three strikes and you're out, not two.
Loi sokum pamayim tzara. He's saying the word pamayim means the second time. Halu uva pam hasheni loi takum od. Kirak pam achas takum tzara v'lipim pamayim. I don't know, he's really playing around with the words. I can't really put my finger on it. He's saying that that this pasuk is not going to be fulfilled now. Basically, what he's saying is this pasuk that indeed says they're going to be obliterated and they're not going to rise up a second time and ever again is not referring to what's about to happen right now. Right now, Nahum is predicting for the nation of Ashur in his lifetime gloom and doom. You're going to be destroyed. There's going to be a flood, but that's not the ultimate punishment you're going to get. You're going to be destroyed, but you'll live to fight another day. You'll then restore yourself, you'll come back, and in about 150 years, Nebuchadnezzar will rise up, conquer the world, and then it will be fulfilled what I'm about to tell you, Loisakum Pamayim Tzara, that you will be obliterated. Obliterated off the face of the earth, and the tzara that you have given the world until now, will not come back ever again because there will no longer be a nation called Asher. So he's doing the same thing that all of the other commentators did yesterday. We learned yesterday, the last 2 days. The only difference is that he's saying that this pasuk is not about to be fulfilled now, because right now Nahum is living during the era of the Golos, of the Aseres HaShvatim. And from the time when the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled until the Churban Beis HaMikdash was over 100 years, if not more, I don't know the exact numbers, was more than 100 years later. And that's a different era. And that era was where Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, rose up to become the world power. And the way he rose up to become the world power was he conquered the nation of Ashur.
I think then the way to explain it is the way you explained it before. When an Avi sees something, the future is present.
Right.
Because he sees it, right. It's actually happening. So he sees the future, but to him it's now.
But we're vacillating.
50 years later is...
there are many echoes. The words of the Navi, they even echo in Ad Hayam Hazeh. We all know that. We know that when a Navi says something, the only reason why it's written down, it's preserved, because by having it written down, it's happening again every generation. But there's always a pshat. And the pshat is always current, usually. He's saying a chiddush that the pshat, even the pshat, is not current. Because Nahum is living at the time of the nation of Ashur and the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. And indeed, at this moment in time, they will be destroyed. They will be destroyed. But that destruction is not going to be a permanent destruction. They're going to rise up again, and they'll exist as a world power until 100 years later, when Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel will rise up, will conquer the whole world. He will then come and obliterate Nineveh and the nation of Ashur, and then, when he does the job, it will be fulfilled. This pasuk loisakum panayim tzara. You who are a tzara in this world until that moment in time will never rise up once again to be a tzara after that point in time. Okay, it's just a little bit the same thing as before, but he's just shifting it a little bit more into the future. Now, before we go further, I want to just point out the Ibn Ezra. Even though we don't know the Ibn Ezra, but over here, we discussed this word over here, Yiradeh Choshech, the Oivav, the enemies. Now, we learn already four perushim, which all mean that darkness has feet, darkness has wings, and darkness will chase you wherever you go. Wherever the enemy goes, he'll be enveloped by fog and darkness, which means confusion, sadness, depression, all of, everything that you associate with darkness. When we translated the words the very first time, I told you that it means, I gave you an example from politics, is when people are crazy, when you see people are crazy, they're so crazy, they pursue craziness. It's one thing to be crazy. It's another thing to go and look for ways to be even more crazy. Right? Okay? Nancy Pelosi, I told you exactly, she ripped up the speech in front of the whole world of the State of the Union, and that's a little bit over the top, okay? A little bit over the top, to stand behind the president, rip up the speech. So it's not that she did it on the spur of the moment. They showed that she prepared. She prepared in advance. She was looking. Someone who's nuts is looking to pursue. You're chasing after the darkness. So the word yiradef, question, is it going on the darkness chasing after you? Or is it you, the enemy, a person is crazy, you're so crazy? You chase after darkness. You have a choice. You can go out into the light. You can see the light. No, I don't want to see. I want to remain here in prison. I want to be here. So that's how we translate. Who says that pshat? Ibn Ezra. He brings both pshat. Look at Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra over here says,
where?
On page 545. On page 545 in the Ibn Ezra, the very top right, v'oivav. So first he says, like the four commentators that we learned, ha-choshech, darkness, yiradef imohem v'acharehem. Darkness will pursue them together with them and after them. Oh, or what it means is, here's the second pshat, she-yiradfem el mokoim choshech. Shelo yireh bivoy aleihem kolo, she-yiradfem, it will run after them, maybe not, I'm not sure if I'm translating correctly. Saying, oh, or, she-yiradfem, who's running?
The people?
She-yiradfem, they will run el-mokoim choshech. Okay, fine, so that is correct. If that's what it means, then that's exactly what I was trying to say. Who is doing the running? Is the darkness doing the running, or is the people? You're so crazy, you're seized. Ein adam chayte el imke nichnas by ruach shtus. An enemy of Hashem becomes a fool, and the fool does foolish things. You will pursue darkness. Now, what is the difficulty with that pshat? Because in our girsa, at least in the art school edition, there is a makof connecting the word yiradef to the word choshech. There is no tameh hamikra on the word yiradef. The tameh hamikra is only on the word choshech, and that forced us to join together the word yiradef to the word choshech, which would then seem to mean is that the darkness is doing the running. Because if it was like the other pshat that the enemy is pursuing, then we should connect the word yiradef to the word oivav, or at least we should give the word yiradef its own tameh hamikra.
Right.
So the fact that, at least in our Mesorah, we have the soif pasuk on the word choshech, and we have no tameh hamikra on the word yiradef, and we connect to the word choshech, that's an indication that the two go together. It's the choshech that's pursuing the enemy. Okay, let's now, we did here three pasukim. Let's take a look over here at the Midrash Chazal. We have one Maimon Chazal on this pasuk, on pasuk Tess, on page 546. On page 546 on the very, very bottom. Leisakum pamayim tsara. Amar Abaya. The very bottom. Amar Abaya. Gmiri dizapa tarte shohi loikoi. What does that mean in English? So he has over here in the brackets. Masores biyodeinu she'ein sufa nimsheches she'osayim. A strong wind does not last more than 2 hours. Pam she'osayim. Lekai ma'ashenema leisakum pamayim tsara. Frag the Gemara of Hokuch Azinon Dekoi. The Gemara answers the Mafsik Bene Bene. There's a Hefsik in between each gust of wind. So here he's saying over here a very interesting Yisoid. He takes the word Pamayim. First, we have to understand saying a Chiddush. The word Pamayim means an hour, a Shah. That's Chazal. The word Pam means time. Okay, Pamayim means a time. And Pamayim is Lashon Rabin. The minimum is two. That the tsara is not sustained more than two times pam. Assume the word pam means an hour. It means an hour. A tsara is not sustained more than, this tsara is not sustained more than 2 hours. What is the tsara that we are discussing here in the pasuk? The sufa. Okay, that's, I mean, it's all part of this whole thing, the strong wind. Ribbono shel Olam has rachmanis and does not bring upon man, upon the earth, a sustained tsara more than a prolonged period of time. But we do see in this world that the tsara does go on for a very long period of time. It has to be that there's going to be a break in the middle. Has to be a hefsek in the middle. There's a lot of discussion in the world of Machshava about the Holocaust. The Holocaust lasted 6 years. 6 years was the Holocaust. Pretty much, the people who suffered the most, the people who suffered, the aftermath is even worse. People will tell you that. Okay, the trauma of dealing with what happened, that's a lifetime. That's generations worth of torment. But the actual oppression.
I think it really started in 1933.
It did. There's no question about it. There are different tkufas, right? But the intensity. Okay, everything I'm saying is just gossip. But I'm not saying this on my own. I mean, you see this a lot of
exterminations.
You see the
actual
exterminations, mass. Right? The concentration camps were really at the end, towards the end. They first that was a right. Response because they couldn't wasn't efficient to kill with bullets, wasn't efficient enough. No, the first killings were execution squads,
shootings.
And then they saw that wasn't efficient enough, so they worked on the gas chambers. But the actual the horrors. Everything was a horror. Let's not. We're having 2,000 years of horrors. Okay, it was 6 years, and the question is why so long? When Hashem brings its sorrow, you know, we have this tradition. This pasuk is always called Le'sakum Pa'amayim Tzara. Hashem, we take a cue. This is a very very important Chazal. Chazal in himself the brachas. There's a lot of discussion about this Chazal. We have Emuna. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a tzara, atkan, it can be very, very intense, but it has to come to an end. It cannot continue forever. For Klal Yisrael, 6 years was quite a long time. Quite a long time. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And a lot of things that I've seen written up is they speak about Avdus and Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri is a slave for how many years?
6 years.
Uvashvi yishalchenu chavshi me'imach. You go free. Cannot be a slave, an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave. You know, in Mitzrayim, we weren't Jews yet. We became Jews with Matan Torah. Kriyas Yamsuf is the Tilul, the Drush. We became the nation of Klal Yisrael as Ivrim, as Yehudim, with Yitzias Mitzrayim. And once we became Jews, what in Tanakh captures, we can look for mekoros of tzar, of oppression, avdus, an eved ivri, a Jew who is a slave, it's not supposed to be a slave. And what is the term, the maximum sentence of a Jew in avdus? 6 years. And there's a lot in the world of Hashkafa, of analyzing, you know, in hindsight, it's 2020, is that it's not a coincidence that the horrors, the torture of the Holocaust was 6 years. Because you have to take into account this pasuk, Le'sokom Pamayim Tzara. A Tzara cannot be sustained. Here it says, the Sufa, which means Hashem's whirlwind of anger for 2 hours. What exactly is a shah? No. What's a shah can mean a second also. Chazal say yesha kon elam b'shah achas. What does it mean over there? It means a moment. Make one good decision. The Chazal, then we learned the daf not so long ago, is a person who daven. So the Chasidim harishonim would daven an hour, would come early an hour, would stay after davening an hour, 3 times a day, 9 hours a day they would daven. So there, shah means an hour, not a moment. And here it says a pam. Chazal say, not more than 2 times a pam. And the word Chazal uses, gimiri de zapa, Hashem's anger, the zaf of Hashem. Tarte shoy loikoi. It's not going to go less more than 2 shoei. What does a shoei mean? I don't know what a shoei means. We take as an hour, a moment. The word is a pam. All we take out of this Chazal is Hashem knows when to say atkan. It cannot be sustained. And if we do see that it is sustained, what appears to be longer than we understand, we have to appreciate that there was a hefsek. Hashem gives revach lehisbainein ben inyin leinyin in order to strengthen ourselves. We make a bracha every day. Hanoisein la yoif koyach. Hashem gives to the weak koyach. There's a respite. And that respite, you can strengthen yourself. You know, in the boxing match, you know, there are different, what is it called?
Rounds,
right? Different rounds. You got to have some time to put yourself back together. This comes from Chazal, and Eved Ivri represents the ultimate of suffering to a Jew. And there it's Uvashvi, in the seventh year, Yetze Lachavshi Chinam, Lachavshi Chinam, you go out free. And the only thing is, what about a Nirtza? A Nirtza says, oh, hafti yes adoyin yes ishiv yes banai. Lo yetze chavshi. You're asking for it. Okay, he's asking. Then they take him to the door and he's an Eved le'oilam. So there are exceptions of being an Eved where the suffering never comes to an end. But that's where you bring it upon yourself.
But when it's really not suffering, he's not really.
Toiv le'imach. Toiv le'imach. You have to give him a better pillow.
Yeah, like,
okay,
really
he is suffering.
He's like a worker.
Avdos, no, Avdos is suffering. Avdos, they always say, look, in America, yes, what's so terrible, Rahman Litzlan, to be in prison? In America, you know, they have big prisons, give you a television, a bed, give you food, you have to work. What do you do the whole day?
Just
sit around, give a gym, get a college education. Okay, so, you know, your cell can use a paint job. Okay, but like, you know, Teretz, how come everyone's chashing to get out of jail? No. You get out of jail, how are you going to feed yourself? It's not going to be so easy. The answer is freedom. Freedom is freedom. When you're a slave, no matter how good the conditions are, a slave is suffering. When you don't, you're not your own man. When you have to work under someone else's authority, it's just torture. You know, they cannot work for someone. They would rather make a fraction of what they would make, if they were working in a government job with benefits, in order just to have the satisfaction, I am my own boss. Don't tell me what to do. I decide, and it's a labor of love. When you're your own boss, you'll end up working a lot harder sometimes, making a lot less money, but there's a satisfaction of being your own boss. There's a very great pleasure in that. And when you're a slave, you don't get that by itself. Avdus is, by definition, suffering. And there are terms in the Torah of how much you suffer 6 years. And this pasuk captures that idea as well. Okay, we're going to stop here, take a short break.